This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Yes.
It's also in a box. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. On a Trillville Thursday, noon hour straight ahead. Coming to you live from the Atlanta United training ground. Hey, shout out to Dax McCarty again for stopping by and hanging out with us.
Cool dude, man.
A fun guy to talk
to. Cool dude, man.
Yeah, yeah. And like we mentioned, long, very successful MLS career. May very well, at some point this season, whether it's Saturday or when Atlanta United win the MLS Cup or sometime in between, that's it. He's announced that that's it. He's retiring at the end of the season. 37, he's played in the league forever and ever. Almost 500 appearances in the league, which is insane. I don't know what the record is. I tried to find it. That's got to be close. Like, he's got to be close to the record for most appearances in MLS.
Think so.
And, yeah, I mean, I don't know what he wants to do next. If he wants to get into coaching, I'm sure he'll have opportunities. If he wants to get into media, I feel pretty confident he'll be able to do that as well. But, yeah, it's Halloween as well, so happy Halloween to everybody out there. Be safe. Have fun. We'll get Joe Patrick in here in about 20 minutes as things are moving around just a little bit here. Atlanta United coach Rob Valentino is going to join us at Joe's normal spot at 1:20. As well as Falcons assistant head coach and defensive specialist assistant head coach on defense, Jerry Gray is going to join us at 12:40 as well. So a lot of Falcons conversation in the back half of this hour.
Okay, yeah, I'm trying to figure it out. It says head coach
slash defense.
Okay, all right. Yeah, well, he's a defensive coach, and we'll ask him some stuff that wants, you know, that we've asked every defensive coach.
How are you going to sack the quarterback?
Yeah, let's make it to a, like, that, like, maybe like towards the end.
Maybe he'll bring it up.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, maybe he'll just say, hey, guys, I'm sure you're wondering. This is what our plan is.
We're trying to, because the thing, that a lot of times when you repeat yourself about a certain aspect of your team, we make it sometimes seem like they don't know that. Do they not know this?
Well, that's why I love that. That's Raheem just first question out of the gate the other day was like, "Let me not to cut you off, but I know you where you're going with that." Yeah, we're not very good at getting the quarterback right now, so we're trying to work on it.
So we'll leave it at that.
We're trying to do better.
Yeah, so we'll
leave everybody knows the deal.
Yeah,
there's no secrets about their pass rush right now.
No, it's not. No, it's not a secret, Andy. They're last in the NFL.
And they have been for 25 years.
Yep, you made that adjustment the other day.
Sucks.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
So we don't have to whisper about it. It's not a secret. Although it's kind of fun to whisper. Let's get to an NFL in the huddle to kick off the noon hour.
Oh, let go.
Noon hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We don't have to talk about it. Let's let Raheem talk about it.
Yes.
One of the guys that's supposed to be getting to the quarterback who isn't.
And he's not playing to his standard. He's not playing to the standard that we expect them. He knows that. Like, it's not anything that we hide behind. There's nothing to protect the guy on. But, like, hey, he's doing some really good things outside of the sack area, but we wanted the sack area from him, and he knows that. And it's no secret about that.
Oh, man.
I am too. But yeah, that's Raheem talking about Matthew Judon, one of the two big acquisitions in training camp that we were fired up about. Fortunately, Justin Simmons was banged up last week, and Judon just, you know, he hasn't hasn't been the silver bullet that we hoped that he would be for this pass rush. And I don't put it all on him. It's easier for them to sort of key in on him when there's nothing to worry about on the other
that
side.
That is true.
But, yeah, no, I mean, unfortunately, and I'm sure Judon would be the first to tell you.
He's not getting it done.
Yeah, it's 1.5 sacks halfway through the season. It's not what he was hoping he'd do.
No. Judon, one thing I garner from him is that he knows what the hell's going on as far as, like, you know, he's not getting it done. He knows why they brought him here. And, you know, it's just him. He's not where he needs to be. This team is not where they need to be in the pass rush. And I understand, you know, we can talk about stats for whatever. And I Carl and Mike had a great thing talking about, you know, you don't have to lead the league and sacks and all those different things, but you have to affect the passer somehow.
Right.
And that's the thing about it. This man Baker threw the ball 50 damn times.
Yep.
50 times. Patting the football. The way they play this defense with those two high safeties, those routes that are being completed on the Falcons takes time. You know how you eliminate so many nice open completions? Because those dudes are wide the hell open, Andy. They're wide the hell open. It's because there's nobody in their face. Bat the ball down some.
Do something.
Something.
Do something. Like at some point, 50 dropbacks. Most quarterbacks are just going to stumble or something.
Something.
You know? Like make a mistake, fall down.
Yeah.
Somebody steps on his foot.
Something.
You know? No. No, not against these guys.
No.
Not against these guys.
And you're going against a really good quarterback. Yeah. You can talk about years and everything. Dak Prescott's better than Baker Mayfield.
Sure.
You know,
better than Geno Smith,
better
too.
Better than Geno Smith. You know, and so you got to figure out a way to tighten up the coverage, get them there, help them out a little bit. I don't know how you do it and all those different things, but they got to get that part done.
Yeah, we'll ask Jerry Gray about all of it coming up in about half an hour from right now. Week 9 begins tonight. Texans and Jets.
The Jets are favored.
To win?
Yes.
Huh.
Yes, they are favored.
I guess, the Texans have some injuries.
They do.
A lot of injuries on offense.
I mean,
they can't really protect CJ.
Can the Jets block? Because the Texans defense is, hey, they get after it. Now, Will Anderson and the boys, they get after it. So can they protect them and everything like that? But, short week. I mean, the Jets season is over.
It's over.
But it'll be officially over if they lose this football game.
Yeah, this is final nail. I mean, 2-7.
Yeah,
there's there's no.
Yeah, and then we don't have to talk about that guy anymore. We ain't got to speak on him anymore.
And I'm proud of how little we have.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Because they ain't done nothing. He ain't done nothing.
That's the thing. That's the thing. The juice has to be worth the squeeze on it. We talked about the Cowboys this week because the Falcons are playing the Cowboys. That's
right. Justified.
The Jets and the Texans play tonight, so that is what it is. But all the other stuff, I mean, there's a lot of 2-6 teams in the NFL. You know what I mean? We don't spend much time on the Raiders. You know? We're not leading the show with the Browns.
Right.
But, you know, you let the big network guys tell it. We got to lead with the guy who drinks. What is he drinking this week? Is water and cayenne pepper?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess do what you need to do. Let's keep it moving here and hear from Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones, obviously, he'll be there, right? Does he travel? Coming to games?
Yeah.
All right. So Jerry will be in town on Sunday. Here he is talking about the contracts that he hands out.
I basically was well aware of our commitment to Lamb and well aware of our commitment to Dak. They were really the principal reason you saw that all-in thing so much. I wanted to make that commitment with Dak. I've always looked at the dollars we spend in football and on the roster. I've always looked at them as scholarships. When you give a lot of scholarships to any one player in terms of your cap, in terms of the dollars, then that's about much less you've got to give to another player.
Then why the hell did it take so long?
That's how the cap works.
But no. Why the hell did it take so long to get their deals done?
I don't know.
The thing that what he's talking about is why the hell did it take until the summer to get them done?
Right.
Because if you went ahead and done this right when it should have been done, because I'm pretty sure the structure, I'm almost positive Dak's structure is what he wants.
It can't have changed that much.
Yes.
I know CD wanted to wait for the market to get set and all that kind of stuff.
And I understand that part. The CD one, because you want to wait and see what receiver gets what. But the Dak?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get it done earlier, you probably have Derrick Henry right now.
Yeah. And even though the quarterbacks that got new deals and all, to my Trevor Lawrence, Dak wasn't waiting on them.
Right.
Dak knew he was going to get close to 60 and everything like that. So that's Jerry's fault.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely right. There's no question about that. Bryce Young is going to start. again this week for the Panthers.
Might
no,
as well.
Not surprised, and he should.
Might as well.
He should. Let him play, see what you got, and then you can make a decision at the end of the year. Jonathan Brooks, their running back draft pick from Texas, might make his NFL debut.
Okay.
Obviously was a good player in college. No idea what it'll be, but hopefully he has a nice debut if he plays on Sunday. Derek Carr, probably going to return. They're playing each other, so that could have been Bryce Young versus Jake Haener.
Jake Haener.
Because Jake Haener's the backup this week. Spencer Rattler
played
emergency.
How you play yourself from starter to emergency? Because you're that bad.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. I mean, you know, not to kick dirt on a guy or anything like that, but there's a reason why he got drafted where he got drafted. Yeah. There's a reason why he was the bad, you know, that's the way he's the third string now. They got him in the game, and you saw what it looked like.
Exactly, and he was a guy that everybody talked, not saying that he can't, whatever, because he ain't got no damn career yet. He just started. But, yeah, I mean, they got to figure out something. I mean, the Saints lost 5 games in a row.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I think 6.
Is it 6?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Let me don't sell them. Don't sell them short here. Yeah, they've lost 6 games.
They've lost 6 games in a row. Yeah. Got to go to Carolina. Can Carolina find a way to get a win? Can Bryce Young salvage something and make that organization maybe like, huh? But huh?
Carolina's lost 6 games in a row. Saints have lost 6 games in a row. They haven't won since they started the season, scoring 91 points in 2 weeks. Right?
Yeah.
They're on the road against Carolina.
Yes.
Carolina's so bad. All that still, the Saints are favored by a touchdown.
Yeah.
That's
how bad
they are. You got to really suck.
Yeah.
And they
do. Yeah. It's hard times. Hard times. Charlotte, man.
Sure is.
It's hard times.
Best thing that happened to that stadium all year.
What hard times are, Daddy?
There it is right there, man.
Was that the charity concert they had on Saturday. They raised $25 million for Helene Relief.
Really?
Yeah. Luke Combs and Eric Church and the Avett Brothers and everybody was there performing on Saturday at the Panther Stadium.
Love it.
$25 million
they raised. That's freaking awesome.
It was a great concert as well. All right, we'll come back. Smokin' Joe Patrick's going to join us. We'll talk some Falcons with him. Thanks for being with us here on the Trillville Thursday. Happy Halloween. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
I love it.
I love it.
Bo's good for a theme.
Yes, he is.
The Halloween theme. I actually asked my daughter this morning. We were walking to school. I was like, what's the best Halloween song? And she said Thriller. Good answer.
Okay.
Oh, this is a pretty good one.
Yeah. But she don't know that.
She doesn't know this one. I know. She only knows like 2 Halloween songs.
Yeah, she remembers about
this. Thriller and Monster Mash. Because there's not that many really anyway, but it was a good answer, I thought. I was proud of her. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here broadcasting live from Atlanta United's training ground as they get set for their playoff matchup at home on Saturday against Miami. Head coach Rob Valentino sits down with us right now for a conversation. Thanks for the time, Coach. How are you?
Coach. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Found out that our engineer and Rob went to the same college.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it. You got Rob, you got Jersey Mike, you also got Bill Russell, right, and everybody. So, yeah, that's
the famous alum of USF.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, tough task to follow but with those guys, but yeah.
So, Coach, I mean, you're at a point now, I mean, we'll just, you know, the grind, just this past grind to get here, from Montreal to where you are now. How have you gotten your players prepared mentally? We just talked to Dak, mentally and also trying to keep their, you know, their bodies because of the grind that they had to get here.
Yeah, we didn't have much of a choice about the grind that we had to go through. So it was about making no excuses. So and having our own internal belief and really just we've been really consistent on saying blocking out all the noise on the outside and really just having our own belief inside and keep pushing that message across, getting the recovery when we can, whether it's more sleep or adjusting a meal time to give them a little bit more rest. That's been just trying to find different creative ways to rest and recover. We want to be playing games anyways at this point in the season, and no one's 100%, but that's the way it is. That's on every team at this moment.
Obviously, this is a must-win on Saturday to continue the series, but like you mentioned, it's been back against the wall for a while now. Like, there's been it's maybe not exactly must-win every game, but the last month or so has felt that way. How does your message maybe even stay the same, because that's what it's been, and how does it change going into this one on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, it has stayed the same, and there's been – I felt like they've been a lot more must-wins than we've actually probably won, which sounds silly, but the last three for sure, like we had to win those games and we had to get ourselves to this spot, and then now we're where we want to be in terms of being in the playoffs, and yeah, it's a must-win. If you lose, the season's over completely, and that message doesn't change, but you tweak what you're talking about and how we can go and approach it. So it's not worrying about what happens after. You stay really what we've focused on is staying present, staying where our feet are is what we've been saying, and that's really what we can control.
What's been your message to this team, Rob, because of all the different things that's going on throughout the season as far as people leaving, people coming in, you as far as being the manager and all those things? What has been the biggest adjustment you've had to have for your players with all the moving parts?
Yeah, it's been repetitive. Like what I said, being where your feet are has been the message of, like, where your feet are, look down. That's where you're at. Whoever's not here or whoever's left or whoever's coming, they're not here. So my focus as a coach has been that they've sold players. Okay, they're gone. Wish them well, and they move on. We've got players coming. Until they arrive, we can't focus on them anyway. So mm-hmm. We put the energy and focus into the players that we have had and trying to maximize their talents and trying to get us to be as successful as we can as we have the players that we have. And for them, it's been the same, that don't focus on your teammates that have left or a staff member that might have left. We will process that in the motions that we have with it. But then at the same time, like, be where your feet are, one step forward, and you keep moving on.
Rob Valentino joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, getting ready for Atlanta United and Miami on Saturday night. We talked to Dax McCarty a little bit earlier. He'll call it quits at the end of the season, an incredible career that he's had in MLS. How is it having a guy like that, almost sort of as an extension sort of the coaching staff when he's out there, and just having a veteran presence like that on this roster?
Yeah, he's super important because he's seen it all. Dax, also because he's been in the league since it feels like it existed, but won't make him that
close.
Old. But
more than half.
But honestly, he's been a pioneer in that way. He's helped the league grow in a lot of different ways. But he's seen so many different things. So that part's really important as a coach to be able to rely on that, whether he starts every game or whether he comes off the bench or sometimes he's been games where he hasn't played. So he's got his own competitive drive, which is great because that fuels him to keep wanting to go. And then in big moments, we know that he won't ever be rattled with it. He's seen it. So that's really important.
How about your goalie? Because we love Brad, and it seems like the past 3 years, it's about time to replace this guy. Oh, it's about time to replace this guy. And, Coach, down this stretch, I mean, he has been just outstanding. He's been outstanding. And just like in hockey, if you got a hot goalie, it keeps you in games and things like that. What about him as far as down the stretch, his importance to this team?
Yeah, he's been fantastic. I think that when we had the first changeover of, Gonzo left, and I sat down and talked with him, and we talked about we've got Josh as well. We've got a good goalie crew, We've got a good union there in terms of goalkeepers. But, with the relationship I've had with Brad, talked about the importance of him as a leader, and that whether he's playing or whether he doesn't play, he's very consistent in who he is. He's the most vocal one. He leads by example in how he carries himself on the field, away from the field. Like, just a fantastic person. He's finding really good form because he's taking care of himself to be at the age he's at and still be performing. Would I like him to be having to make all the saves? No, of course not.
Right.
But he is showing up in the big moments. But the big thing I said to him is, like, if I'm going to war with somebody, I'm going with him front and center. So, and he's really lived up to that. I mean, he's leading the charge, and there's a reason he's the captain of the club, and he's done a great job.
Not many teams went down to Miami and beat Miami in their place this year. You guys did, and mm-hmm. and drew them at home as well. So 4 points off of them in the regular season. What worked? What worked when you were playing against them? And how repeatable is that possibly on Saturday night?
Yeah, I mean, the each game was a little bit different. In the home game, they rested some players and played some younger players, so it, in some weird way, it made them a little bit more stable. When they've got the big superstars, there's some guys that come alive when they're attacking, so they're dangerous in a whole different way. What I think was really helpful is that we were really organized and really disciplined defending. That, especially if I think about the first away game where we won that game, we were really clinical in transition. So when we got two or three chances, we put them away. And that's what will make a big difference. Now when we're at home, we think we can have a little bit more possession, but also what we do with the possession is really important. So it's not just to have the ball to say that this stat looks really good. It's about what we do with it. So that's going to be, again, a hyper-focus of what we're talking about here.
What's the biggest thing that you have to do to combat their star lineup that they have down there in Miami? As far we know who they have, but mm-hmm. how do you combat that? You know, because they're going to get opportunities, just mm-hmm. like Dax was talking about. They're going to get the opportunity. They're just that good. How do you, as a manager, try to counteract that? Stardom, what do they have there?
Yeah, like I said, about the possession, what we do with the ball and being really clinical in those moments. So when we get one good chance in the first half or whenever that moment comes, put it away. So how we play in behind their back line and then get runners inside the box, that part's really important. And how we create high-quality chances, that's really important. It's not about the amount of time we have possession. If we have more possession, great. If we don't, it's being clinical in those moments. And also what I'm sure Dax touched on, we know where they will hurt us. They are some of the best. Four of those guys are some of the best that the world has ever seen.
Right.
Now, they have a pattern of what they do. So we've shown video. We've talked about it. Not only coaches, hey, this is what we're telling you to do. Also, as players, this is what you felt during the game. How can you stop them from doing that? And then from there, we can turn that into chances from us. Trust me, like these guys have been playing a long time in Miami, and there's been people trying to stop them for their whole careers. And there's a reason why they are who they are.
Right.
Rob Valentino joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, getting ready for the home playoff match against Miami on Saturday night. Should be a great atmosphere. I mean, 70,000 people are going to be in there. It's going to be crazy. We know it's a must-win situation. What do you look forward to knowing you're walking into a building when it's going to be like that?
I mean, just the buzz of it. Like they bring so much energy. They always do. Right. No matter how many people are there, but knowing that thing's going to be packed. Like obviously they're going to have their stars, and I know there will be people there to see them, and that's okay because they did that the last time. There was people there to see them.
Right.
When the moment started to turn towards us, those people were cheering for us, and I don't care who they come to see, and if as long as that ball is going our way and the momentum is our way and they're loud, I'm loving it. And I've been really grateful for their support nonstop. I think it's been incredible. This place is really special and unique in this league.
I have a strategy type question for you, Rob. When you are in a situation as a manager, at what point of the match do you say, okay, let's play for the PKs?
Never.
You don't ever think? Because I was always curious. Because they were like, "Well, they're gonna park the bus.
They're
gonna park the bus, and they're gonna hope to get into extra, and they're gonna keep that bus parked, and hopefully they get the PK."
You start thinking like that, you're gonna lose the game. I mean, it's funny because the last game we were tied, and we were under severe pressure, and people were. You know, I heard obviously Tata, their coach, said, "Hey, could have just sat there and played for PKs." It never crossed my mind. Uh-huh. Not because I didn't want to try to win the game, but I also thought we needed fresh legs. So you're trying to think about ways you stay in the game, but also to go and win it. Like, this is about, it's not about playing it safe. It's about winning the game. And like, if it gets to a point where I'm not going to make an illogical decision of, right, like, oh, let's take this guy off and just let's pull Brad out of the game and let's go for it and have no goalie.
We don't really do that much in soccer. That'd be crazy.
But we were talking about the hockey stuff. None of that hockey stuff. So, hey, maybe there's a first for it if we need to. But Brad's always telling me to play him up top, so maybe it's the moment. But, no, I don't think that way. I try to think in a way that will help us win the game.
We would bring our goalie up sometimes in high school because he was like 6'5", late in the game to try to win headers.
I would love if one day yes, I would. If you bring Brad, bring him in the box on a corner.
He's a big-ass dude.
I mean, he's the biggest dude out there, coach. And he goes up and gets it and heads it. But we got to make sure it goes in, though.
He's got a big head, too.
Because if it doesn't go in, then, yes, you know. Then.
If he does that, this place will – the roof is – the roof will open. He will go crazy. And then his head won't be able to fit through any door after that. So we'll be in trouble.
Well, we're all going to be watching. Okay. We're all going to be pulling for you on Saturday night. Thanks so much for
appreciate
the time.
Coach.
Thanks,
coach.
We appreciate
it.
That.
That's Atlanta United head coach Rob Valentino spending some time with us here on a Thursday of a game week as they're preparing for Miami. And like we said, you probably know, but like we've talked about, it is a must-win game in order to continue the series. It's a best of three. Obviously, Miami got the first one down there. Lenny and I have played hard, man.
They have been playing hard. It's the biggest thing with them, and I think Dax, he pointed out so perfectly. Like, we always do that, you know, we don't know how this team will react away from there. But to be at home and not be as good as they are and have always been at Mercedes-Benz, that's been the biggest thing for me this year.
Yeah.
But this, I mean, just like Coach was saying, that place is going to be packed. And yes, he was not naive to be like, you know, all of them are going to be there for
There's
us.
There's
going to
be some
like
messy
that.
Fans
gonna
in there.
There's going to be a lot of them in
that's
there.
Fine.
It's going to be a lot of them in there.
Well, shut them up.
But that's what happened last time. Yeah. You know, they were all in there. United started playing well, and it started to sound like a United game.
Yeah, exactly right. It's very fun to shut fans up that are there to root for the other team.
I know one damn thing, though, because we still got, you know, and I know this, you know, this might be the last home game, but we're here. We got to find somebody who does the spike thing. Who do we need to talk to while we're here?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know. Where's Arthur Blank at? He's got
to
be around
Who the
somewhere.
Hell do we need to talk to?
Yeah, let's go ask him.
Yeah.
We can demonstrate our, you know. All you got to do is hammer that bad boy in.
Because we're walking by and I see all the pictures of the people who hit the spike in. Like, where's our picture?
I would love to do that. I would love to do that someday. All right, we'll grab a quick break here. Noon hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Falcons assistant head coach Jerry Gray is going to join us next. So from the coach of Atlanta United to one of the coaches of the Atlanta Falcons. Coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Whew, I've heard this one a lot the last couple of weeks. They bought like some pumpkin lights,
uh-huh.
You know, like string lights, whatever, decoration, and you hit a button and it sings this song.
I would lose my mind.
They hit that button. Yeah, I think I have. I have lost my mind.
I'll lose my mind.
Didn't have much to lose, but I've lost it. We're good, though. We're here. We're hanging out. We're broadcasting live from the Atlanta United training ground. Thanks again to Dax McCarty and to Rob Valentino for coming by as they're getting ready for Miami on Saturday night in a huge playoff game at home. Also, nice enough to give us a little bit of time today as well as they get ready for Dallas on Sunday is Jerry Gray from the Atlanta Falcons coaching staff. Coach, how are you?
What's up, Coach?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Doing outstanding.
Doing well, and we certainly appreciate the time as you guys are getting ready for a big one on Sunday at home. Let me just start with this group of DBs. Obviously, you know, you played as a DB. You've coached DBs and defenses for a long time. How much fun is it coaching this group and a group that you can trust like these guys that you've got back there?
Oh, man, it's always fun to coach guys that you can trust and know that they're going to go out there and do what they're supposed to do. You know, there's going to be some adjustments we got to make during the game. But the good thing is those guys, they bring questions to the table. You know, if we mess this up, how can we go fix this? You know, I did this on the field. So that when they're communicating and we're communicating, that makes it so much better as coach because I'm used to players talking to you, telling you what they want to do, how we can make it better other than them always being a listener and then going out and doing exactly what the coach says. Sometimes that works, but when the players take it over and make it theirs, that becomes a lot better team, and the secondary is getting that way.
Jerry, when you – I mean, like Andy said, you've been around, you've been doing a long time as far as the NFL defenses and everything. Jerry, is it – do you believe in it's from the front to back or is it from the back to front?
Well, I think it's a combination. Let me tell you why. Like, say, for instance, if the quarterback gets the ball out fast, the rusher's never going to get there, right?
Right.
So as a defense, then we got to cover – better and make the quarterback hold it. If a quarterback is a long dropper and hold the ball longer, then of course the rush is going to get there and then less pressure on the coverage. So to me, it's always a combination between those two. You know, even though I'm a defensive back guy, I know if it's 2.5 seconds or less, the D-line's not getting there unless you just got a clear run at the quarterback. So we have to be realistic about that. So now, hey, DBs, how can we help the D-line rush better? That means quarterback hold the ball longer. And if he's holding the ball, ducking and stuff like that, then somebody's eventually going to get there to him, and now we got a better chance of getting the sacks.
Falcons assistant head coach Jerry Gray joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. I think a lot of what Jesse Bates does is obvious to the layman like myself. I see the interceptions. I see the forced fumbles, stuff like that. What are some of the nuances, like things that you notice in Jesse Bates' game that we might not notice on a Sunday basis?
Well, probably more so leadership, you know, that can be put on a piece of paper. I watch him during the course of the week. You know, I watch it when he comes up here on Tuesday when they're off day and he gets the whole DBs together and say, hey, come up here 10:30. Let's make sure we watch film together. Let's go through some calls, do some stuff there for about an hour when they don't have to. So that's one leadership that the people may not know. And then during the course of the week, hey, how can we do this? How can we do this better? He's always asking questions. You know, even to Jimmy, even to Rye, how can we do this better? That's what I think that a lot of people don't see. They see a good football play on Sunday, but they don't see the extra that you do to make this team better. And I think, you know, he's one of the better ones I've been around.
Well, you know, Ross talked about, you know, not worried about stats. We talked to DC a couple weeks ago. We talked to him. Not about the stats.
Well, stats are for losers.
But stats are for losers.
We know stats
are
for losers.
We know that, Jared. But and it's people, we sit back and we're like, where are the sacks at? Where are the sacks at? Where's the pressure? Mm-hmm. Where's the pressure at? In your eyes, are you close to getting there as far as like maybe trying to affect the quarterback more than the team has so far this season?
Yeah, you know, to me, I think, you know, getting the quarterback down, of course, that's the ultimate goal.
Right.
But if you get the quarterback off the spot and we're in good coverage, then that means that you've done your job. You have affected the quarterback. You know, the sack number may not be big, but the good thing about what I think we're going through right now is that we got some guys that are really close, that understand that they're close, and then we also got some guys on the back end to say, let me cover a little bit longer so they can get there. And then, and you're winning. So think about it. We're sitting here at 5-3, and we're still fixing stuff to get better. And I think that's a great sign for us, is because we know we can get better and play better, and we of course, the ultimate goal is to win.
What's the about obviously getting better, of course, throughout the year, week by week, month over month, and all of that. What's the next item or two on your checklist as a defense to play more complementary football? And I know the offense has tried to stay on the field a bit longer in time of possession and third downs and all of that. What does the defense need to do to take that next step to play better complementary football and improve week over week?
Well, to me, I think the big thing is we started off, you know, hey, we got to stop the run. We got to stop the run. And then there's something else that popped up. Oh, you got to get sacks. You got to get sacks. Then all of a sudden it says no explosive plays, no explosive plays. So all three of those, you know, hey, stopping the run, eliminate explosive plays, don't give up touchdowns. I think that's the ultimate goal with the defense. And then the sacks are going to come, the turnovers are going to come, because now people start forcing stuff. And then that makes it way better. But to me, the three team things that we just talked about, stopping the run is a team stat. Yeah. Getting off the field on third down is a team stat. You know what? Don't give up touchdowns is a team stat, because nobody knows who didn't give up the touchdown. So once we get to that, now the next step is the individual stats is a fact. You know, and we do want to glorify one guy, but it's also 10 other guys out there helping you get that sack. And I think that's the biggest thing that's missed, that everybody wants a lot of sacks, but if it's not a team stat, you really don't win the Super Bowl. I have not seen one team that led the league in sacks that won the Super Bowl. It may be a long time ago, but I know a couple of years ago, Philadelphia Eagles had 70-something.
Yep.
They lost to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep,
you know,
great.
And guess what?
Yep.
They walked away with not a ring. And they have the most sacks in the history. So to me, I'm not saying that to disqualify sacks. Of course we want them, but we also want to win.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it, Jerry. That's the most important thing is winning. And we got one more for you as far as this week's opponent. Obviously, we know, you know, the star on the helmet and all that hoopla and everything, but they have some really good football players, especially on their offensive side. Well, what kind of, you know, things do they pose a problem for this defense possibly as we get ready for Sunday?
Well, you know, number one, they got a great quarterback. You know, Dak, incredible guy. I watched him over his career, played against him a couple of times. Really, really good, big competitor. The offensive line is very big, huge guys. Trust me, they're really big. And then, you know, you go to their skill. They got three of the top running backs, you know, that have played in this league. And then, you know, they're probably getting the young guy back, 23. And then you look at, of course, CeeDee Lamb. You know, you look at him, you got a guy targeted 17 times in one game. That's a lot. And so, you know, and all the rest of the other receivers are really good and they're capable. So the tight end is very capable. So we got to go out and play our best game, you know, and play like we need to play. And then, you know, like we talked about, stopping a run, eliminating explosive plays, don't give up touchdowns in the red zone, and then everything else to kind of take care of itself.
Hey, Jerry, can I ask you a question about about back in the day a little bit when you were the defensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills from 01 to 05. I just want to know, when you're game planning for the Miami Dolphins a couple times a year, what are you trying to do to stop my partner here on a Sunday afternoon? How are you trying to take Randy Mack out of the game?
Come on, man.
Hey, don't let him get behind you. Trust me, don't let him get behind you. Stop the run and put it, again, we pretty much back in the day played shell, which is just like everybody else do. But I was fortunate enough to have a lot of big dogs on my side of the ball.
Yes, you were.
Sam Adams and Pat Williams. I had K.O. Spikes. I had London Fletcher. And then my secondary was just as talented. So we had Nate Clemens. Had two Ohio State guys, Nate Clemens and Antoine Winfield.
Nasty
and then
Nate.
Malloy.
So Tell the name, Jared. Nasty Nate.
Hey, trust me, it was easy for me to just call a defense.
Call it with this Nasty Nate. Watch your knees and ankles. watch your knees and
like
ankles.
I said, it was easy for me to call the defense because you got guys out there that took it over from the field.
So you guys probably just shut him down every time then.
Really?
He gives me a hard time. I know he is.
Hey, Coach, we appreciate the time. Thank you very much. Good luck on Sunday.
Appreciate you, Jerry.
Okay, thank you very much for your time. Thanks for inviting me on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming. That's Falcons assistant head coach Jerry Gray as they get set for the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday afternoon. I had to ask him something.
Yeah, I know you did. I know you did. Yeah. They were so talented, but they had Drew Bledsoe quarterback.
And yeah.
He was at the end of the day.
I know.
Was
he not good there? I don't remember.
No, he was not good.
Yeah.
Remember the first game when he left? They traded him to Buffalo.
Yeah.
Bill traded him to Buffalo.
Yeah.
They played the Patriots, and they beat the Patriots 30-0.
I do remember that.
No, I'm sorry. I take that back.
That
was Lawyer Malloy.
And they carried Lawyer off the field.
Yeah, they carried.
Yeah, yeah.
But his first game, I think they did beat Blue England, though. But yeah, Drew just threw the ball to everybody else but the team.
Yeah.
They had Eric Moles. They had Reed. They had Peerless. Travis Henry was the running back. They had a big offensive line.
They had a lot of guys. On defense.
And he was the defense was loaded.
Yeah.
Defense was loaded. It was some rough sled. It was some rough sled. Especially on that old, that's how old Jerry is. That AstroTurf.
That old turf up there.
That old turf in Buffalo.
Especially
when it gets
cold. Oh, God. It's like concrete.
Yes, it is.
I bet you got your fair share, though.
Oh, yeah, dude. I got busy on Buffalo. Oh, yeah.
That's what I wanted you to say.
That's really all I wanted you to say.
All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back. We'll get to
it. Got me one game, though. First ever time I ever fumbled the ball.
Really?
Yeah, man. That was like 3rd and 7.
Who got you?
3rd and 7. I caught it at 5, and I was reaching for the 2 yards, and London Fletcher poked it out.
London Fletcher was a really good player.
Yeah, London Fletcher poked it out.
There's no shame in that. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Smokin' Joe Patrick will actually join us at his normal time, unless somebody else comes by. A lot of guests today.
Yeah, man.
We don't normally do. We've done 3 guests in 2 hours. That's a lot for you and me. But we'll be all right. We'll come back. Final hour of the show coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.